Limits, like fears, are often just an illusion.
Denham Brown, three to go. Denham Brown, 4-3. No good! By George, the dream is alive.
You tell everyone or anyone that has ever doubted.
The Dallas Mavericks are NBA champions.
Thought they did not measure up.
He's dislocated some portion of his leg.
Or wanted to quit. You tell them.
Castillo looking to finish it here. He goes down again. Takes it out.
To look up.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Get up. And don't ever give up.
Get your insider sports bets from your two favorite cook fellas. Dom, the Wizard of Wagering, Moth, coming directly at you from New York City, the financial capital of the world. And Frankie, Clocker King Puma, straight out of Las Vegas, Nevada, the mecca of gambling. Join them for their weekly broadcast of sporting news, game recaps, and pro picks. Informative and entertaining. Sit back and get ready to take some notes.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Welcome to EMW Sports. Thanks for joining us. I'm Don Moff, the Wizard Frankie's right next to me. Well, next to me meaning 3,000 miles away. What's up, Frankie boy?
What's up? We're back, Jack. Ready to rock.
Yes, we are. Before we even start the show, I want to let everybody out there know that Wednesday, the night before the big day, which is Thursday night, is opening day for the NFL. The New England Patriots versus the Pittsburgh Steelers, and New England is favored by 7 points in that game. But the night prior, we will be on the air. We'll go on the air at around 10:15 Eastern time, Eastern time. So hope you guys tune in. Frankie, what happened this week, Frankie? What happened?
A fiasco.
I don't have anything to say. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to respond to this mess. It doesn't compute, Frank. It just don't compute in my head. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Well, I'm going to say something off the wall. Everybody doesn't realize this. He's a judge, okay? And all I'm going to say is one thing. Where there's money, there's corruption. I rest my case. I just rest my case. That's it.
Nobody can be
that ignorant in a decision like that. The man, Brady's exact words were, "I'm guilty of not cooperating. I'll take the suspension." What the hell is that supposed to mean? Meaning?
That means you're hiding something.
I knew it. Exactly.
You're hiding something. I'm not cooperating because if you do, it's your prerogative to cooperate in any situation. You know, the pleading the fifth comes into mind. But by not cooperating, I'm not gonna incriminate myself. And that's basically what he did. Because if he would have cooperated, there would be a phone, there would be text messages, there would be those two clowns in the locker room that did the damage to the balls, you know, before the balls went into the field.
The two smoking guns.
Right. And here's the thing, Frankie, too. They tried this case in the court of law. Now, the NFL is an independent company. It's a corporation, just like anywhere anybody works. You make up certain rules that everyone has to abide by. Normally, the boss makes the rules. So Roger Goodell, the commissioner, is the boss. You know, he has been chosen. He has been elected by all the owners of all the NFL teams to be the acting boss. So he has a huge responsibility. And in this case, Frankie, I think, you know, he went for the jugular. And I kind of agree with him because I would have been harsher because you don't fool around with the integrity of the game. You're cheating. Smaller balls, easy to throw. Smaller balls, easy to catch. And also, everybody's forgetting what Frankie and I realized. They're much easier to kick also. Gronkowski, the kicker, I did my fantasy team tonight, and he was ranked number one over all the kickers because he gets the most extra points and field goals, has the best percentages, and this has been going on for the last couple of years because of those balls. He is going to not have as good a percentage as he has in years past because they are going to put this team under a microscope. I just hope that they at least watch every move they make, every breath they take, Frankie. It's the only thing. And here's the thing, Frank. Thursday night that we just mentioned, and by the way, for those of you who tuned in a little later, we're doing a special show, 10 o'clock Eastern time, Wednesday night. Roger Goodell, and just like every other commissioner before him, the very first game of the football season, there's a lot of festivities, there's, you know, concerts and bands and parades and fireworks. I mean, I'm excited, and that's awesome. That's great. Every commissioner has always attended the very first game of the season. Roger Goodell, Frankie, decided he is not going to show up at the game. Now, it's got to make you think. He said that he doesn't want any attention to be focused on him. If the venue wasn't in New England, Frankie, do you think he would be at the very first game of the season?
He's supposed to be. Of course.
Yes, right. But because it's New England, he's not going to go.
How do you take a day off? You're off almost a whole year. You take another day off. The first game is baloney. He doesn't want to be embarrassed. He doesn't want to show his face.
Frankie, come on. Don't bother the guy. He needs a day off. He only makes $44 million a year.
He did nothing. Yeah, I'm saying he should go to the game.
Frankie, come on. The guy needs to take a break. $44 million a year. Give him a raise, maybe 60, 70, and maybe he'll attend. That just doesn't make sense to me. You shouldn't be hiding. But now, you know, there's rumors circulating, Frankie, that there are personal threats on this guy's life if he shows up at the game. Yeah, I heard that through the grapevine. I have sources, as I normally do. And rumor is, word is, it's not so much that the attention's going to be on him, Frankie, as much as maybe a target is going to be on his back. He's afraid of safety.
There's a lot of nuts around. You never know. I can understand that. But, you know, it's going to be a big, big drawing on Thursday because Donald Trump, he broke records with his 24 million viewers on Fox that night because he's new. Now Brady with all this Deflategate and all this time, they're going to be a big, big audience.
Well, you know, last year's Super Bowl between Seattle and the New England Patriots, it was the highest rated viewership in the history of the Super Bowl. And it was fueled by, believe it or not, Deflategate because, you know, they do these surveys and they wanted to know the difference because they want to improve their audience viewership every year. And they asked, why'd you watch the game? What's the interest? Oh, the Deflategate. So your normal viewers who may not watch Super Bowl because their teams aren't in it did tune in to watch because of said Deflategate, the publicity, you know, going up until the game started. Unbelievable, Frank. Anyhow, I want to explain a little bit to the listeners out there. I had mentioned a few minutes ago that that the NFL's a private corporation. It's a business. It's just like where everybody else works. You work for a company, whether you work for a grocery store, there's rules. You got to show up at a certain time, leave at a certain time, certain day off. You know, you have to present yourself. So there's rules. There's rules. Every job has rules, and it's a private firm, considered to be a private firm, a grocery store, a gas station, a pizzeria, whatever. It doesn't matter. Or a huge firm, you know, DirecTV, what have you. They have in-house rules, and Tom Brady broke those rules. Okay, he wasn't caught deflating the balls himself. But you know what? He's holier than thou. He's one of the best quarterbacks in football, and I'm not going to take that away from him at all. So he has people do it for him. It doesn't matter. It's like somebody that is in a conspiracy to me. He's involved as if he did it himself, if he had other people to do it for him. Nonetheless, Now, when your boss suspends you and takes money out of your pocket and says you can't have it, then you could take your situation to court and be heard by a judge. And now the judge looks at the same investigation where the NFL, Frankie, they said, wow, it's circumstantial evidence, but there's a lot of evidence here. There's a lot of things that happen. We're not morons. Two and two equals four. You're getting a four-game suspension. Big time. Yeah, it was harsh. I don't think personally it was harsh enough, because if it were up to me, he wouldn't have played in the Super Bowl. That's just me. You don't fool around the integrity of the game. Anyhow, in a court of law, the view is different. You have a judge, and circumstantial evidence does not hold up. You need a smoking gun. You need solid, concrete evidence. And another thing, Frank, to his advantage, where were the witnesses? Where are the witnesses? Because witness testimony is normally your biggest proof in many, many cases.
Well,
not so much the weapon or what have you, but Frank, witness testimony is usually the proof you need. And there are none.
So let me ask you a question. What do you think if they had the two deflators in court and they said, did or did you not deflate the ball? What do you think they would have said?
I plead the Fifth Amendment. I don't want to speak.
That means they did it. That's the answer.
That's
you. Thank
you
very much.
That's because you have common sense. I have common sense.
And the judge doesn't.
The judge has to go once. I'm glad you said that, Frankie, because there's a difference. Roger Goodell is the judge and jury for the NFL. You're not messing this game up, Brady. You're not making. You're not going to cheat your way to championships. You're good enough. You don't need to do that. He doesn't, Frankie. But their franchise has been. Go ahead.
But, Dom, you got to read in the NFL bylaws that his decision is final. He's the man. He's the guy. You can't go. You can't say, I got a speeding ticket to the cops. You can't do this. It's not that kind of thing.
Right.
He owns the club. It's his golf course. That's the suspension. I rest my case.
That's a good point. But once again, and I'll agree with you, because they signed the CBA, all the players, the union. The players' union signed, and all the players voted for it and agreed as well, the CBA, which is the collective bargaining agreement, where they said, where it was written, that Roger Goodell is the be-all, end-all, judge, jury, and executioner. Frankie, they signed on the dotted line. They agreed to the terms of the disciplinary course of action in the NFL. So now what Brady did, Frankie, was bring it to the court of law. Now you forget about the company. The judge is going to look at it as, you know, a normal situation, a lawly, you know, through the law. There is no solid, concrete evidence. You understand, Frank? It's not enough proof, not enough evidence, for the judge to agree with Goodell. Circumstantial evidence does not get you convicted. It does sometimes, but in this case, it just didn't, Frankie, because you can't produce witnesses. And those two deflators, whatever, and we saw those texts that were on the phone, Frankie, from the deflator guys. You know, hey, Tom better hook me up with some tickets or an autographed jersey. You know.
I'm on a diet. I just claimed myself.
No, they claim that the person was, oh, yay, we call him the deflator because he's been on a diet. What? Come on.
Yeah, the judge should have did this. He should have said, okay, girls, here's the problem. You want four. You don't want any. I'm making it two. You did something wrong, I feel it. Or one game something. You shouldn't have just gave him a slap on the wrist.
I'll tell you right now, Goodell looks like a horse's ass right now. But, Frankie, there is a little bit of hope. You know, the judicial system, now that you're involving the law, and by the way, Frankie, you know what kind of annoys me? Is that they had to close off the streets here in Manhattan. You know, they had to put extra police officers on duty to roll
serious numbers.
I mean, this is overtime. This is the judges time. You're paying for the judge and all this other stuff. And I mean, it's an expense to the taxpayers here in New York City. We got to dole out the money for this bull. Give me a break, okay?
For no reason.
Conviction or no conviction, I don't think that the city should have absorbed the expense, but, you know, laws are laws, and you know what? It is the civil duty of the state in which to do it because they did. They're taxpayers, too, to the NFL, so, yeah, they can do it. But it just annoys me. I don't know. Take your joke somewhere else.
Let me ask this question. Now that the NFL is going to appeal it, another judge makes a decision, where do they go from here? Back to Wisconsin?
No. Now it's getting all legal. It's getting to be a mishmash. Now, remember, Tom Brady had four lawyers, Frankie, four mouthpieces. He didn't say word one during any of these hearings. He just showed up in court because he had to, and never once did he speak. Not one time, Frankie. He had hired mouths to talk for him. He didn't achieve anything but signing checks to pay these lawyers. But you know what? He went the extra mile and did just that. And let me tell you something. He's looking like the New England fans think he's a saint now. Oh, look at this. He is the golden boy for Frankie. He's like the Teflon Don that can never get arrested. You know what I mean? Even though everybody knows he did it. I don't know.
I wonder if everybody's wondering if he plays Thursday night, which he is. If he has a bad game, it's because the balls are too fat. I can't wait to see.
I tell you, with the appeal, Frank, it does go, and I just remembered, it goes to the appellate court, I believe, and then they oversee it, and then they're going to have a ruling. And now the NFL made an appeal, and they formed an appeal, Frank. When you make an appeal, you just can't say, I appeal it because I lost. No, you have to put a reason in. Right, you have to appeal it with some substantiating reasons. And
the reason
said,
is, he made a decision. I'm divorced, it's my league, it's in the bylaws, that's it.
Well, that's probably what he's thinking, but the whole purpose of the appeal, or what it's going to be contested on, is that the integrity of the game was at stake. And I agree. And I, as the judge, I'd give him the appeal. And now it's going to go through the process. And by the way, it's going to take a minimum, all the, you know, expert lawyers gave opinions, and they said it's going to take at least 8 to 12 months. So, Frankie, if the appeal process is going to take that long, we're talking about next year. And the trouble is with, you know how the people are. They forget. Nobody has a good memory. You know what I'm saying, Frank? The more time that goes by, the more people are just going to want to say, you know what, leave Brady alone. Because time is their best friend. Yeah, time.
Time heals all wounds.
Right. And
Except for scars, like the shithawks that they did to me in the Super Bowl.
Oh, my God. I guess you're going to bring this up, Frankie. You're going to bring this up. Your last words on this planet. God forbid you're on your deathbed. Those Seahawks, I hate them.
it's actually Pete Carroll and the guy who threw the ball. It's not that, because it's Brady's Brady. I think about him winning the Super Bowl. He didn't deserve it and played the ball. That's why I keep bringing it up, because he is involved, and he got the ring, and he shouldn't have got it. Now he got off the hook, and he got a ring.
And you know what's funny about the opinions of everybody, of the football fans most especially, because only football fans really care about this. And there are lots of us, Frankie, because football...
45 million fantasy football players. 45 million and counting and growing.
Hey, I'm in that list. I'm on that list. Pardon. I am on that list. I did my football team about 3 hours ago. I put it together. I didn't do such a hot job, but still, I'm one of those people, Frankie. Fantasy football's great. Now, that's fantasy, Frankie. Those are guys that, stay in the... See, I'm an all-purpose fan, Frankie, because I'm doing a fantasy. I'm going to bet the games. We're going to broadcast after the games, before the games. So I'm very much involved in the NFL. We both are invested many... You know, we're invested for a lot of years here, Frankie. We've been doing this for a very long time.
I've been doing this seriously since 1969 with the Jets.
Okay, you see, I don't think I was a scratch in my father's pants at that point. But still, the point is, Frankie, is that we love football. And this Thursday coming up is our Christmas 4th of July, Easter, Thanksgiving, birthday, anniversary, all in one big day. Oh, I can't wait, Frank. I can't 25
wait. 25 weeks. 30 weeks of happiness.
Oh, and ladies and gentlemen, we told you it would go by pretty quickly, and I really hope you're bad with us, because once again, for those of you that are here, Wednesday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, we're doing a live show, and all our shows are live, by the way. Right now we're live. All of our shows are live, and we're going to do a football special Wednesday night, 10 o'clock Eastern, before the Thursday game, the Patriots versus the Steelers. And I think Frankie and I could come up with a winner. And we're most likely going to give you the total, which is the under and over, how many points they score, whether it's going to be many or not as much. But there's going to be a, you know, you add the score at the end of the game. Let's say, right now, Frankie, what's the total on that game, by the way?
44? I don't have it posted. I think it's 44, 44 and a half, right around that area.
At the end of the game, you add the scores up. And if they add up, let's say it's 25 to 20, that's 45. So if you bet the over, the 44 and a half, you win. If you bet the under, sorry, you lose. But don't worry, losers, because if we give you the wrong side of a play, Frankie has to be notified. You could call up. We're going to open up the phone lines as well, coming into the football season. And if you lose, Frankie will reimburse every one of you out there. Don't worry, you're good to go. It's a win-win situation. By the way, Frankie, I just wanted to ask you, prior to this unbelievable verdict, all right, you had bet the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were they were underdogs or favorite, Frankie, the 3 points.
They were getting.
They were underdogs by three. The line
three and a half. Three and a half. When Brady was might have been suspended. Then it went to
right.
2.5. Then it went back to 3.
And now it's a full fact 7, and it will climb. And I wouldn't be surprised, Frankie, if that spread goes all the way up to 10. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised.
I have a funny feeling we're going to disagree on this game, which is good.
Yeah, no. That's what the show's about, you know. That's what we're going to argue on the air. And, you know, some people will hear your side, they'll hear my side. They can render their own decision or they can listen to us. But we have to agree, Frankie. We have to agree on the first game of the year. Let's not get into some kind of controversy where we are at each other's throats. Although it would be fun.
You're not going to get my pick until the middle of the show.
Oh, we're not giving the pick out probably till about the middle of the end of the show. But we're gonna discuss the game prior to the show, Frank. We have to bounce a little bit off each other and see what's what.
Getting about the totals are good, but basically most people, including myself, I don't really like totals. I'll tell you why. Of course, it's like flipping a coin. Heads is over and tails is under. You really get no pleasure out of picking out the winner, so to speak. But it works. You make money. That's something separate.
Frankie, it's been a moneymaker. You can't say
yeah,
it hasn't.
Yeah, I agree.
The last couple of years, we and the beauty, you know, if you bet the under, you kind of sweat out the whole game. If you bet the over, it could be one of those games at halftime where it's 35-30. You won your bet. You don't have to watch the rest of the game.
Yeah, but there's no really thought pattern. It's just like flipping a coin. You know what I'm saying? It's just no who's playing, who's hurt, rain,
it's,
snow, sleep,
it's a flip
that.
Of
it's
a coin.
Yeah.
You got some nerve. It's a flip of the coin to you because I'm the one who always researches the totals and you concentrate mostly on the games, remember? Let's get
that's
the totals.
Right. That's why we have a show.
Right. But I like the way you're downplaying my work that I put into it. And I never hear you complaining, Frankie boy. Never.
Well,
and now all of a sudden it's a
job.
Flip of the coin.
Just do your job.
And
just
that's what
job.
You tell me all the time. Anyhow, this Brady thing. Here's the funny thing. There's so many football fans out there, and anybody that you speak to about this Deflategate situation, it is just so funny, Frank, and it just goes to show you. The closer you get to Boston, the more they agree that Brady, Brady's innocent, it's innocent. So when you pass Boston, outside of the radius of Boston, like, let's say, I don't know, the radius of a few hundred miles, Brady's guilty. The closer you get to Boston, Frankie, how could the NFL do this to him? He's the best quarterback that ever lived. I wish that most Patriot fans would be objective about it and realize, because, you know, Frank, honestly, the whole situation stinks. All right, and if he didn't do those, you know, those balls or this or that, he had something to do with it, Frankie. You understand?
Oh, yeah.
And now, Joe Montana made mention. Troy Aikman was very vocal about it, and there was a couple other retired quarterbacks that said, Brett Favre also, that there is a distinct advantage of having a deflated ball, and a couple of quarterbacks said it's an acquired taste to how personally you want the balls to be, and that I believe it was Brett Favre, Frankie, that said that he liked the ball, you know, more inflated, but they were for practice, Frankie. They used those balls for practice. Come game time, everything was done, you know, legitimately. I'm sure there must have been a time, Frank, in practice or whatever, where Belichick's like, damn, you had a great practice. And, like, maybe time went by. Wow, man, you've been practicing great. How come you're not doing that great? Or you're doing good, you could be great. Or these more, you know, when the ball's smaller, Bill, Mr. Coach Belichick, I perform much better. So let's do it, baby. You think Belichick had anything to do with it, Frankie? Oh, but again, do you think he had any knowledge of this?
Absolutely. Look at Aaron Rodgers says he likes the ball overinflated, and Mr. Carter said it's easier to catch when it's less inflated.
Oh, so Chris
Carter. Everybody can't be wrong. Yeah.
Oh, right. You know what? I am so glad you brought up Chris Carter. Last week, I broke a story. Well, I didn't break the story, but the story was out there. And I mentioned on the air about what Chris Carter had said at the Rookie Symposium, which, you know, he attends every year, supposedly. And the NFL pays these guys in which to talk to these rookies, how to behave in the league, so on and so forth, to give advice from veterans. And he's a Hall of Famer, so he's got clout. Point is that I listened to the entire conversation that he had with the rookies, and I wrote it down word for word, and it took me time, literally, pen and paper is what I had done. Unfortunately, when I wrote down every single, the reason why I had done that, because I didn't think, Frankie, and anybody would have believed what he had said. That's why I wrote it down word for word for word. Unfortunately, when it came time to pretty much reading my handwriting and kind of understanding what I had written, it may not have come out the way I had wanted it to come out. So please, in order to take that into context, and I wasn't, you know, aiming at Chris Carter in any way, shape, or form. I don't know personal vendetta against him, no. Although, I think what he did was 100% wrong, and I'm sure the rookies he spoke to have fathers and mothers and have parents that just don't agree with the advice he had given. Anyhow, it's Chris Carter Fall Guy. Google it. The video's out there. Please watch it. Because I wasn't gunning for the guy. I was disagreeing with him. It is nothing at all personal. I'm just, you know, I was really surprised. That's why I wrote down every word, because I didn't want to embellish. I wanted to be factual, but I kind of didn't read it properly. Right, Frankie? I did a good job of reading what I had written. I don't know. I couldn't understand what I wrote. Well, it was actually the words, y'all, this and that. I'm not used to it. But please, if anybody is out there and is interested, the Fall Guy, Chris Carter, Fall Guy Rookie Symposium speech, whatever you want to call it, just Google it. You'll find it, and you'll see what I read over the air falls right into context of what occurred. Now, you were saying something, Frankie, about the balls, right? And that Brett Favre likes to handle, they like it to their own way, but it gets adjusted before game time. They practice with different size balls. Do they not?
I don't know if they do it in practice, but I know Aaron Rodgers and Favre like it overinflated.
They got big hands. Maybe Brady doesn't
right.
have big hands. Or whatever the reason may be. Everybody's different. You know, that's why they got so many flavors of ice cream out there. Who likes vanilla? Who likes chocolate? Strawberry? This, that. Otherwise, they have one flavor. Everybody is freaking different. That's all it comes down to. And the, like I had mentioned, the New England fans, Frankie, he's innocent! Innocent! It's all circumstantial evidence. The problem with that view, Frankie, is that this stupid thing, this Deflategate, went to the court of law, and that's the problem. It should have stayed in-house, and you know what? I wouldn't have minded, Frankie, if he got a two-game suspension, because it would be behind us, because what's going to happen when it comes back up again, Frankie? We're going to have to bring it up on the right. It's just going to be a merry-go-round. Round and round we go. And
you know, have to think about the Seahawks again.
Excuse me. Now, Frankie, here's a question I got for you, and I'm sure everybody out there is probably curious that is familiar with this Deflategate nonsense. Now, we know that Tom Brady got fined and suspended for four games, the first four games of this season. Well, that's not going to happen now because he went to court and won the case, although it's on appeal. He may get suspended in the future, but as for right now, the boy is playing football. But not only were charges levied on Tom Brady, but also on the New England Patriots as a team. Now, Frankie, they lost their first round and their third round pick, and they were fined also $1 million. And the owner, Robert Kraft, of the team, Frankie, decided to sign on the dotted line and accept the punishment. Now, let me ask you, Frank, if you're innocent, okay, or do you think a situation is innocent that you're involved with, would you give in so easily? Because it seems to me Robert Kraft gave in so easily.
He did the right thing because he figured that was the end of it and saved the games.
He
figured
I'll
admit to it and goodbye. Yeah.
Right, and he actually, you said it when it happened, when the team got penalized, you said the owner gave up right away, the picks and the money, he accepted it. And you're the one who said it, Frankie. I don't know if you remember that the reason why he did this is so they go easier on Brady when it's his turn to pay the piper, right?
Right, exactly.
And that's what he, and also Robert Kraft said so. He said so.
Right now, if he didn't agree to it, they would have beat that too, according to this stupid judge.
Here it comes, Frank. They may. There's no word yet, but it is possible. Robert Kraft didn't say yay or nay that he's going to try to appeal his draft picks.
If I was Belichick, I would try and get my number one pick back. That's huge.
Yeah, of course it is. It doesn't matter if you win the Super Bowl. It's a 32nd pick overall. That's a substance player. That's a player that could play in normal conditions.
That's a starter.
That's a potential starter. Oh, I agree. Absolutely agree. Now, here's the deal, though, Frank. He can, if Brady is deemed as innocent, at least for the time being, he is more than likely going to try to get his picks back. And I bet you he'll say, you know what, keep the money, just give me my picks, because in football, $1 million is like, 25 cents to anybody else that's normal. I mean, think about it, Frank. But here's the thing. Robert Kraft, he should want his picks back, and I want him to want his money back. So this way, he could take that $1 million and maybe, get some new clothes. He wears the same pants, same jacket, same shirt. Once in a while, he'll change the color of his tie. But maybe that's the bleach doing it, and it just fades. I don't know. But it's time for that guy to get a wardrobe. Frankie, he's wearing those blue shirts with the white collars. Those things were pop. Those shirts were popular from that movie. From that movie Wall Street with Michael Douglas in like 1981.
Yeah.
Give me a break with this guy. Doesn't pay attention to his own appearance. But look at his coach, how he dresses like a slob.
Too much of the Patriots just doing the limelight too much. I can't wait till it stops.
You know what? Yeah, we're going to have to get off the Patriots before everybody just gets you know, us included, annoyed. All right. So I tell you what. Let's take a quick break, Frankie. Okay? And then we'll come back and we'll hop on something else because there's been a lot of cuts in football, too. Like
I want to talk about RG3.
Oh, we'll talk about him, too. Okay, this is EMW Sports Broadcasting, and here's a word from our sponsor.
I'm a paranormal filler, and I will be at the Scarefest.
Scarefest!
That's what I said.
The largest horror and paranormal convention in the United States.
Do you know where it is?
The Lexington Center, September 11th through the 13th.
Well, I'll be there.
Meet over 80 of your favorite horror and paranormal celebrities.
Like me.
There's a costume ball, seminars, movie screenings, and lots of scary merchandise.
Yeah, but I'll be there.
For more info, visit thescarefest.com.
I was going to tell them that.
Scarefest, September 11th through the 13th at the Lexington Center.
Will you give me a chance?
Be brave if you dare, but don't come alone.
Fine. What he said.
Howdy, y'all. Come on down to Texas for the first annual Mineral Wells Paracon 2015, Friday, December 4th to Sunday, December 6th. Join Lisa Lamrock of Spurs, Texas, with Danielle Passione and Bill Bachman of Ichiba Incarnate Broadcast Network as they give a warm southern welcome to Scott Gruenwald of Paranormal Paparazzi and Ghost Adventures, John Tinney of Ghost Stalkers and WeirdLectures.com, Brian J. Cano of The Haunted Collector on Sci-Fi. Also from Sci-Fi will be Molly O'Connelly from Killer Contact and Randy Hardy of Deep South Paranormal. From the Bio Channel, Chelsea DeMolly. And from the Travel Channel, we'll have John Brightman. Mother Christina Rake will be there, along with the pop culture professor, Dr. Rebecca House. Cody Chris Sutton, Selena Rohn, Alejandro Dominguez with his new documentary, Haunted Lockdown, and Christopher St. Booth from Spook TV. Reverend Mother Christina Rake will kick off the festivities with a ceremony for the men and women of our armed forces attended by the Patriot Guard riders. There will be investigations at both the Haunted Hill House and VFW Post 2399, as well as lectures, vendors, and parties. Stick around, you'll get to attend the wedding. Come on out and be a part of this extravaganza. For ticket information, go to www.mwp2015.com.
The Mineral Wells Paracon 2015 is brought to you by Ichiba Incarnate Broadcast Network, Spurs Texas, Brian Hathaway, Clark Gardens, Fuzzy's Taco Shop, George Turner, Ghost Stalkers North Texas, Neosho County Paranormal Investigators, Vita Ortiz, the New Mexico Paranormal Association, Knitted Kingdom, and Hobbs Paranormal Phenomenon Investigators.
And now, back to Dom and Frankie.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Frankie, boy, you there?
Yes, sir. Listen, I want to tell you something real fast.
Take your time. This is a radio show.
I'm making myself an owner of a team, and I'm going to be the owner of, say, the New York Jets, okay? Here's what I would do. And I'm serious. I have no quarterbacks. I haven't had quarterbacks for years. I had Richard Todd when I could have had Marino. I would actually I'm telling you the truth. I know. I would actually try and say to myself, maybe I should steal this RG3. I mean, he's got to be better than Smith. He's got to be worked with. Maybe they can eat half his contract. I'll give him $9 million. He'll give him $9 million. I would actually try and get this kid. He was a number two pick overall. He's got a bad team. He hurt his leg. They overplayed him. He's got a bad attitude. Maybe it's fixable. That's how desperate I would be for a quarterback if I was the Jets or the Bills.
You know, Frank, I happen to agree with everything you're saying. And I think there's more to RG3 than meets the eye, because
damn right.
The guy was rookie of the year, and now he's a third stringer. He's a bum by all accounts.
He's got some talent in there. I'm telling you, he's got some talent.
Frankie, I was impressed, and I'm sure you were too. He played the first year when he was in the pros. I remember him coming here to the Meadowlands and beating the Giants, okay? And he did it with his feet, his arm. He looked He looked unbelievable. And a matter of fact, I don't know if everybody remembers this, but when RG3 came out and had instant success, the whole entire league, all the GMs were saying, uh-oh, this is the new wave-type quarterback, because they said, look at RG3, look at Russell Wilson, Colin Kaepernick, all running. They're running all over the place. You can't catch them. They're all gazelles. This is the new type quarterback that everybody was looking to get. And what they do? Kaepernick, Frankie, stays in the pocket. Russell Wilson, for the most part, stays in the pocket. RG3, pocket passer. First of all, what got him to be number one, Frankie, was that he scrambled and he ran for yardage and he also threw. So you don't know, is he going to throw a pass before I tackle him? Should I fall back and cover the ball?
Oh, it's harder.
Yeah. Yeah, because if he just thinking that he's going to get run past the line of scrimmage, instead of covering the receiver, you got to run up to tackle him. And that's why so many guys are open, because he was a threat on his legs. And what did they do, Frank? Yeah, he got hurt. He broke his ankle and, yeah, his knee. Why'd they change him? He's supposedly, according to him, and we don't know, but he's saying he's 100% healthy. Why didn't they try to reform him back to his old form and let him do what he did? Instead, now they want him off the team. Do you know, Frankie, what you just said about the Jets, I thought of. The Jets could definitely use him. And I wouldn't, Frank, honestly, I wouldn't mind him backing up Eli Manning. Why not? Because he does have talent. The kid has talent. But maybe there's a lot more than meets the eyes, because they called about a half a dozen teams, the Redskins, Frankie, trying to unload RG3. The problem was money. They don't want have anything to do with RG3, Frankie. They want, if you're going to take RG3, you got to take the whole contract with him. And I believe he makes 11 this year and like 16 next year or something. I don't know. But they can't even get like shoulder pads and a few helmets and maybe some balls for this guy. Nobody wants him, Frank. And I don't care.
I would give it a shot if I was the Jets, because the Jets don't have a quarterback. And the half their season is going to be with this. I don't know if it's going to be any good. It doesn't look good. He's not that good.
I believe the Jets, today was a cut day. A lot of people got cut off teams today. The final cuts were made for the 53-man roster. And, Frank, do you believe the Jets, you just said they're in dire straits for a QB, but they cut Matt Flynn.
I know. How dumb.
I mean, not that he's any good or great or whatever, but he's still a quarterback, and that's the position the Jets friggin' need, and they need it bad, unless this Ryan Fitzpatrick can shock the world. Because the Jets, they have serious receivers, Frankie. Okay, they got Decker, and they got Brandon Marshall, who is half man, half beast. I know he's a little older in age, but Frankie, you still...
play.
Right, you still can't teach size. He's a big, big guy. And he, with Cutler, he did well. If he had success with Cutler, I'm sure he could have success with most other quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? Because I think they have a great receiving tandem. Top 10 in the league. And that's
also, we're talking about quarterbacks. Michael Vick is now a Steeler. He's a scrambler.
Yeah, he signed last week to back up Roethlisberger. But Roethlisberger, Frankie, he's indestructible. He's indestructible.
That's right. Pittsburgh is alive. That's why Pittsburgh is always alive with a guy like that. Let me tell you something. How many Super Bowls did he win?
He's been to two and he won one. He lost against the Packers and he beat the Cardinals in the first time he did it. Two. Yeah.
No, I think it was three. Wasn't he in three Super
Bowls? It's possible. You know what?
He won two. He won two. He lost one. He won two.
Nonetheless,
I'm not sure.
Everybody chirps about Brady's great. Nobody looks at that's an underrated quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger. Frankie, the guy's good. He's a big guy. He's a tough guy. He gets hurt all the time, but he stays in the game, sort of like Philip Rivers. Do you remember that game they played the Ravens on a Sunday night? I believe it was last year. Do you remember, Frank? He got sacked. And an elbow went through his helmet. Somebody's elbow went through his helmet, and his nose got broke. Do you remember seeing him on the sidelines? His nose was crooked. It was a crooked nose. And he's like, I'm going back in. So they broke the nose, got broken. They, I guess they re-broke it or reset it. And bingo, right back into the game he went, and they won that game, I think. Yeah. I mean, that's a tough guy. Roethlisberger is a man's man, and it's perfect way he plays, right? Pittsburgh Steelers, you know, guts, grit, you know, the steel, the town that used to manufacture steel. I don't think it does anymore.
Well, I think they went to five or six Super Bowls they went to. That's their record. They hold the record, I think.
The Steelers? I think
yeah,
the Steelers,
I think they went to
too.
Five or six, yeah.
Well, Bradshaw, not the greatest quarterback. You know, nobody ever talks. When great quarterbacks come into the conversation, nobody ever says, oh, that Terry Bradshaw, ooh, he was a great quarterback, Frank. Never.
A little too far away. Montana will wear out. That's what happens.
Yeah, Montana.
Johnny Unitas, Joe Namath, they fade out.
Yeah, no, but Terry Bradshaw won multiple Super Bowls, and nobody ever mentions that he's a good quarterback, Frank, even in his prime. Nobody.
You know,
I know.
How about Steve Young? He was good, too.
He comes in conversation at times. I mean, he's mentioned. He gets honorable mention a lot, Frankie. You know who Terry Bradshaw reminds me of? Because the Steelers were known for their defense back in the 70s. They remind me of what the Ravens were recently when they had won a Super Bowl versus the Giants. Remember the quarterback that the Ravens had? Trent Dilfer. Bum. Terrible. But, yeah, no, he did. He didn't. And give him credit. You know, he didn't fumble the ball or throw an interception or whatever.
He showed up.
Right. And now him, a guy that could barely play the position, is an analyst for ESPN. My God. Yeah, a guy that's sucky is going to gonna analyze quarterbacks that are 100 times better than him. And speaking you want to talk about cuts, Frankie?
Yeah, one more thing. The Philadelphia Eagles. They seem to know what they're doing, right? They got a good running back. They try to get a quarterback. Why would they give Tebow a shot? What were they thinking?
No, hold on a second. Tebow fits the system. He fits that system, Frankie. It's a running system. If you ever watched Oregon football, Marcus Mariota, matter of fact, got drafted this year at number 2. The Tennessee Titans drafted him. And he's a mobile quarterback. He's similar to the types of the RG3s and the Russell Wilson and the Colin Kaepernick.
I think they cut him. Did they cut him?
They cut him today. And I tell you, I'll be honest, I'm surprised. I really am surprised.
I'm not at all.
Any
tight end can do what he does.
You know what's shocking is that they had the kid Barkley from USC to the Eagles. They traded him 2 nights ago, and I assumed, and I guess everyone else assumed, that if you're going to trade one of your quarterbacks, you're going to keep Tebow. Meanwhile, they cut Tebow, traded Barkley, and now they just got Bradford and Sanchez backing him up. And here's the thing, Frankie, like you said about RG3, and he's been injured a lot, and you believe that there's still talent in him, and I agree with that. Nobody's been as injured as Sam Bradford, and that kid's and now he is the starter of the Philadelphia Eagles, who, by the way, Frankie, what are their odds now to win the Super Bowl?
I don't know. I think 14-1 is dropping.
Well, they're favored to win the division, aren't they?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
No,
and
they're over the Cowboys,
You know, also, which surprised me, Reggie Wayne, who's definitely going to the Hall of Fame, formerly of the Indianapolis Colts. You know, he used to play with Peyton Manning and then, of course, Andrew Luck. He signed with the Patriots, Reggie Wayne, Frankie, and I cannot believe they cut him today. I guess there's no gas left in that tank. But he did make a comment on his way out after he got cut. He turned around and said that playing and being involved with the Patriots, there's absolutely no fun. It's just business. Meh. They win, Frank. They win.
We got that. Belichick's a stick in the mud. He's a smart. You got to give him. He's a smart general.
Oh yeah.
He knows how to get talent.
I mean, he is very, very good.
He never had a cheat. He had to do no Spygate, Flategate. He could, everything he accomplished, he would do without cheating.
Who? Belichick.
Belichick, yeah.
What are you talking about? The guy's a
Belichick,
cheater.
Yeah, I know, but he would have won without cheating.
I probably not as much, Frank. Who knows? I don't know. You don't know. But more than likely, he would have probably had the same success. I'll agree with that.
Yeah.
I will. And with these balls being underinflated, Frankie, it may not be a big edge. I disagree with that. But nonetheless, who knows? They probably may have won the Super Bowl without doing it. Why do they always have to be underhanded? That's it. Stop. Let's stop talking about them, please.
Yeah.
Now, also, you have in your possession, fresh off the presses, who will win the divisions? Am I correct,
yes.
Frank?
Yes,
who's
yes,
favored
yes,
to
yes.
win? Please elaborate with everyone out there, because it's important. Because obviously, if you win your division, you're going to the playoffs, and it's important to win your division.
And that shows you who the odds makers think have talent. They give you a little heads up. Who they put last, who they put first, because they're pretty accurate, these guys. That's their job, to take your money.
Right.
Okay, now, and of course, the Patriots division, New England's the favorite. Minus 170, opened at minus 170, it's now 150. Minus
Frank,
150, that means.
When did you get, you got possession of this today, after the suspension was lifted, is that correct?
Correct.
Okay, then they are favorite, because I know that you had another list to where they weren't as, as expensive
strong.
To bet. Right, as strong,
right.
Correct. So go ahead, give me, let's hear the AFC East standings on who the odds makers, the bookmakers in Las Vegas think are going to win that particular division.
And I honestly agree with them so far, but I read it down. New England, Miami, Buffalo, Jets.
And that's the order they have it in. So the Jets are going to finish last. Wow, again. Miami, how much of they excuse me. They think they're going to be in second place, huh?
Yeah, they got them plus 300.
All right. How about the AFC South?
Okay.
Where the Colts, the Indianapolis Colts,
yes.
the Houston Texans, the Tennessee Titans, and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Those. That's
it. You just named it. That's the order.
Really?
That's it. You just went top to bottom. You nailed it.
Well, the Colts, obviously, with Andrew Luck. And by the way, speaking of the Colts, Frankie, they really loaded up. Okay, they got Frank Gore. I know, you know, he may be a little long in the tooth, but Frank Gore comes from the 49ers. He's a solid guy. He doesn't fumble the ball. He'll get you that first down on third downs. He'll get you that end zone carry for those 2 yards to punch it into the end zone. And plus they got also, who's also long in the tooth, Andre Johnson from the Texans. Now, they're both older, but they're still talented. There's still some gas left in the tank.
The team has improved. And let me just tell you something. If you want to win $100 and you want to bet the Colts to win a division, you have to lay $700 to win $100.
You have to risk $700 if you think the Colts are going to win the AFC South in order to win $100 back.
Exactly. This is who they got to beat, the Texans, the Titans, and the Jaguars. The Jaguars are plus 2,200. Just to give you an example of how far down they are.
So what if I bet $100 on the Jaguars? I'm sure there's some Jacksonville fans, even though they're a handful, not many, but I'm sure they're going to wind up visiting Vegas and probably throw something on there just for being a fan. So let's say you put $100 on Jacksonville winning the AFC South. What do you get back for $100?
$2,200. American.
That's pretty good, but doubtful.
And let me just say something about the Jets. They're plus 1,000. Now, they have an outside shot. If the Patriots should sink, because they really don't look that good on paper, they could sneak the division if they had any kind of a quarterback. They're not that bad defensively. Anyway, I'm just saying, for $50, you can make yourself $500. It's a simple thing. All right.
So let's get off the AFC South, and let's get to the Cowboys division, the NFC East. Now, you got the Cowboys, Eagles, Giants and Redskins in this division. Who is predicted by the guys in the sports book in Las Vegas? Who do they think is going to win this division? Because I'm listening. That's my Giants division.
Okay. Cowboys, plus 125. Eagles, Giants, Redskins.
They think that the Cowboys are going to win the division.
According to the, as of 9-1.
Wow. The Cowboys, not the Eagles.
No, Eagles are plus 110. It's close.
It's not a typo?
No. It's
I
close.
Guess the Giants are expected to be in third place, where Washington, please, they're not even going to have a 500 record this year. No way. They stink.
But let me give you an example. I'll give you a little heads up why these sheets come in handy while you read between the lines. They have the Washington Redskins, okay, plus 1,500, all right? Okay, and on the first Monday night game, okay, that's the wrong sheet. No, they have them plus 1,500 without a quarterback. They should be plus more than that.
They have a quarterback, Cousins.
He's okay.
The kid from Michigan State. I believe his record when he starts is something like 2-11. Kirk Cousins is his name. I tell you, Frank, I the RG3 mess. The head coach doesn't like him, and it could be personal, it could be on the field, whatever it is. And from what I heard about RG3, Frank, I heard he's arrogant and he thinks he's the greatest ever, and maybe he's got a big ego. But you know what? Have the ego. Who cares? But put up or shut up.
But they really did abuse him when he was hurt. His leg was—he was limping, and they kept him in the game too long. I don't know what they were doing. What they were doing when they did that.
Well, the game you're mentioning was the game versus the Seahawks 2 years ago when he hurt himself and he stayed in the game. He should have been replaced because he was literally hopping on one foot.
Then he took a bad hit. The leg went flying up in the air. He did like a cartwheel. They took him out.
Right, and he fumbled the ball on the 3-yard line, and Seattle recovered. And we happened to bet Seattle that day. We got 4 points, remember?
Mm-hmm.
We won that game. All right, and I'm going to get back to the divisions.
Okay.
Sorry, NFC South, that's the division with New Orleans Saints, Carolina Panthers, the Atlanta Falcons, and I believe Tampa Bay Bucks.
You want to hear something funny? You got the right order again.
I'm just trying to remember the divisions.
And that was exactly it, because that's where they usually finish.
So the New Orleans Saints are favored to win that division.
Yeah, over the Falcons, Panthers, and the Buccaneers, yeah.
Wow. Well, they lost Graham, who was their number one receiver. I mean, he's a tight end, but he was unbelievable talent. They traded him to Seattle. Oh, my. That's going to hurt Drew Brees, and it's going to hurt him big time, without a doubt. So I think Carolina is going to surprise some people, Frankie. I do.
They're better. They're better than last year. They came close. They played the playoff game, didn't they? And they lost.
They won that playoff game. Remember, they played versus the Arizona Cardinals, and the Arizona Cardinals grabbed somebody off the street. Remember, he was the quarterback, and he had two. Yeah, he finished the game with two completions for 7 yards.
The guy was sitting in the stands. Yeah.
That was the worst thing I ever seen. You know what? People are curious about the Green Bay Packers. That's the NFC North. So in that division, we have Detroit Lions, Green Bay Packers, Minnesota Vikings, and the Chicago Bears. Frank, who's favored to win that division? More than likely, it'll be the Packers.
Packers are the overwhelming favorites, minus 300.
And Detroit is second, I'm assuming?
Yes, plus 375.
And then the Minnesota Vikings and the Bears are expected to be dead last. Wow, Chicago.
Plus 900.
What a storied franchise, Frankie. They're stuck with that quarterback because of that contract, Jay Cutler.
Yeah.
$120 million or something crazy. He just has a bad attitude. He doesn't seem like he's interested in playing at all.
They should trade him to Washington and take RG3 and just try to change something different because he ain't going to make it with them. For sure.
you know what? Washington won't accept that trade because he makes way too much money, Cutler. And
yeah, but the guy who owns the Washington Redskins, he's a super billionaire. He spends like crazy. I forgot his name, but he's like Steinbrenner.
Snyder, Daniel Snyder. His name is
he
Daniel
don't care
Snyder.
About money.
Yeah, but
believe
Frankie,
me.
What owner does? They're all billionaires, Frankie. Right? They're all billionaires. But
he'll spend.
Yeah, but you see, Frankie, they'll spend as much as they want to. The problem is there's a salary cap. To me, that doesn't, you know, salary cap I don't like.
They defer it. You defer it.
But the thing is, baseball doesn't have a salary cap, you know? And I know people are making crazy money in baseball, but there shouldn't be a salary cap in football because it's a very wealthy league, number one famous sport, and they just make money and money and money. And by the way, speaking about revenues for the NFL, Frankie, they made 20% more money last year than they did the year before. That's a 20% increase. And that is a reason, believe it or not, they believe that, and it's true, Roger Goodell is behind the scenes making these deals with all the networks and promotions and all this other stuff.
He is. He makes a lot of money for the leagues.
He does. He does his job. And he gets paid $44 million a year. That is his salary. Now, as far as bonuses are concerned, who knows? Because it's probably more than that. So if he's making that kind of loot for the NFL, then you know what? By God, he deserves it, Frank. Plus, he doesn't have such a difficult product to sell either. Frank's divisions. You know what I'm curious about? I'm curious about the AFC West where the Broncos are, because have we seen the last of Peyton Manning, Frankie, or not?
No, I think they got a shot. They should win the division.
What are the odds, and in what order?
Broncos, -220. Chargers, +300. Chiefs, +350. Raiders, +1,500.
You know, you don't have to mention the Raiders, you know. For most people listening, you don't have to mention the Raiders because we all know, that they're going to finish last. It's what they do.
I don't think they win more than four games. I think they would be around four wins.
I'll tell you one thing, though. In my opinion, they drafted the best receiver coming out of the draft, Amari Cooper. He's going to turn some heads. You know, he's very good. He's going to turn a lot of heads.
Let's get the other two out of the way. The
AFC
Packers,
North.
The North.
The North with the Ravens, Steelers, you know, the Browns, the Bengals.
Raiders, Steelers, the Browns. We just did that one, didn't we? No, the Seahawks. The Seahawks you were talking about?
No. Ravens, Browns, Bengals, Steelers.
Okay, yes, okay.
AFC North.
All right. The Ravens are +140. Steelers are +180.
Whoa.
Bengals are +200.
They have the Ravens winning that division?
Yep.
Wow.
They could.
Okay, whatever they are, Frankie, I think the Steelers are going to win that division personally. I think the Steelers are going to turn a lot of heads, and I'll tell you something else. We're going to get to see them Thursday night.
Talk about them Thursday,
They're going to be, in my opinion, an offensive juggernaut. They're going to score and score and score. And the reason being, Frank, is because their defense is hurting. So if you can't stop the other team from scoring, then you might as well try to outscore them, because that's how they're going to have to win games, the Steelers. As far as being defensive, that's going to be a thing of the past come this season.
Yeah, they don't have to steel curtain no more.
No. Now, I saved the best for last, Frank, your favorite team in football, the Seattle Seahawks division. Can you please elaborate who the sharp bookmakers think in Las Vegas are going to be in first, second, third, and fourth place?
Well, they are the overwhelming favorites. They're -400. The Shithawks. Cardinals are +250. Rams are +700. The Niners
dead
are
last.
+1,000.
Oh, my. How far has the Niners fallen from grace?
Okay.
Look at that. They are, seriously, Frankie, are you sure you're not making a mistake where they have the Niners being in last place? But the Rams are in that division. You sure it's the Rams, the Niners and the Rams, you know, you're not making a mistake with that?
Nope.
Wow. That's sad.
They built a brand new stadium.
And if they... And according to what Vegas does, they're not off by much ever, if off at all, when it comes to the division.
Right.
The division, right. They always get it right.
Let let me explain this to you. Now, I'm going to make you a proposition. Are you ready? The Minnesota Vikings, who are predicted to finish third in the division, they're plus 300. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
You got that? All right, now, the San Francisco 49ers are finished, are picked to finish last. They're plus 1,000. Now, the Niners are home, and the Vikings are playing them on Monday night. This is Supreme, so we do our studying, how we do our homework.
Right.
Try to figure this out.
But this is just
okay?
One facet. There's a lot of other things we make in comparisons.
Yeah, well, I just want to let everybody know that we do our homework here, and this is one of the things we think of. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Remember, they're plus 1,000. The Vikings are plus 300. What do you make the line if you're a bookmaker? The Vikings are on the road, the first Monday night game in Niners. Make the line. Go.
Well, if I'm going just by the odds, Frankie, where it's every year, and by the way, ladies and gentlemen, every year, Frankie and I look at this particular scale. In other words, Las Vegas picks who should win all the divisions. And I got to say, Frankie, they're always right. Most of the time, they're always, always right. Like,
always on the money.
Dead right. It's unbelievable. Right. Their track record is phenomenal. Now, back to that, Vikings versus the Niners. I'm going to make the Vikings minus 2.
See? I'm jumping on this game. The Niners are minus 3.
That's a 5-point edge going our way. And this is just a, yeah. Well, there's a lot of stats and circumstances that Frankie and I look over. And tonight we're throwing numbers at you. But this is what we do. We're going to pick games, and we're going to pick winners. And we're going to make you money as we make money ourselves. Now, Frankie, it's getting to that time of the show. I just want to remind everybody, Wednesday, 7 o'clock, I beg your pardon, 10 o'clock Eastern time, we will do a live preview show the night before the season starts. We're going to analyze the Patriot and Steeler game. And also, we'll take some call-in people. Anybody that wants to call in, feel free to do so. The number's 347-539-5549. Hey, Frank. To get off topic for a second, is Mr. Mayweather fighting yet? Because he's fighting tonight, is that correct?
Berto.
Yep. Now, what time? You're 3 hours earlier than I am, so he's not going to be fighting for a couple of hours.
Right, two more hours.
Now, let me ask you a question. Who would you bet in that fight? Or did you put a wager on this fight? Because I doubt you did.
No.
Now,
no, it's not bettable.
It's impossible, right? I mean, the odds are ridiculous. And from what I heard, these odds are higher than when Mike Tyson fought Buster Douglas back in the day, where Mike Tyson lost, which was the biggest boxing upset, arguably, in all of history.
Yep.
Okay.
Without a doubt.
And this, right? It was. I think it was 28-1 odds that Buster Douglas would beat Mike Tyson, but he wound up doing it anyway. But nobody bet Douglas, hardly anybody. And tonight's fight, last I checked, Frank, 33-1 odds for Mayweather. If you want to win $100, you got to risk $3,300 to win $100. And guess what? That's a safe bet. It is, Frank, in this situation, because there is no way that Mayweather is going to lose this fight. Absolutely not, because this will be his 49th victory. And then he'll be looking to win his 50th fight of his career. And can you smell it? Because I could smell it a mile away. Here comes Manny Pacquiao and the Mayweather Part 2. What are they going to charge this time, Frankie? $300 to watch?
The people will pay it. They'll pay it.
Not everybody.
Following.
I don't know about that, because everybody got a taste of what the fight was. And I'm not paying for it. There's no way I'm going to buy the fight.
You know why they get it? Because they make a party out of it, and people invite their girls, their friends. They have conventions. They do everything just to have a party, to have an excuse to party. That's what they do. They'll hype it up, and they'll say, it's all like a boredom. People are just bored. They want entertainment, and they'll take anything.
For the pay-per-view event, you're saying?
Yeah. That's what I'm trying. That's where they make their money.
Well, listen, they're going to be careful when they schedule the rematch, because they better not schedule while college football's going on, because people will choose football over boxing any day. And college football fans, Frankie, are more rabid than the pros.
Absolutely.
I mean, they got stadiums that fit 115,000 people, and there isn't an empty seat in the house. Have you ever seen a Michigan game?
Yeah, there's 20,000 in the parking lot just listening to the noise.
Right. Nobody's going to be watching a box match, but they'll make it, you know, like a March event where nothing is happening, and it'll be perfect because there will be some people, like you said, are bored, and they're looking for an excuse to throw a party. So
exactly. That's what they do, yeah. Because, a lot of people have parties and pool parties, and don't forget, there's a lot of good weather out here in Vegas. Everybody wants an excuse to go to Vegas. Come on, we'll go see the Berto fight, or whatever it is. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. You went to the last fight. Let me ask you a question. You're probably going to get free tickets again. You were in the fifth row ringside.
I won't go to that. Not that one. Not, I won't see Pacquiao again. I'll pass.
Even for free? The limo and all? Like you did
the
last fight?
Yeah, you know why? Because it ain't worth it. I sit there. I don't want to be bothered. It's just not entertaining.
Mm.
It's like me going to a Jaguar Tampa Bay game.
Don't worry. We'll be seeing a lot. Hey, Frank, you know what? If the Jaguars and Tampa Bay played, let's say, on a Thursday night or a Monday night, and it's the only game to watch, I'm still watching it. That's the truth.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. This is in our blood, but, you know, you don't...
Manny Pacquiao. My God.
He was good in his day. He got a little punchy. He got a little beat up too much. You know?
He got a little too old. I wish that Mayweather would have took up the challenge 5-6 years ago. Well, I think it's maybe 7 years ago when Manny Pacquiao was in his prime and like, come on, Mayweather, let's do this. And he was like, no. And then as soon as Manny Pacquiao started to get gray whiskers, hey, let's have a fight.
you know what this is like? I mentioned again, Nadal got upset again by Fognini. Let me just tell you one thing. Nadal was unbeatable, 22, 23, 24, 25, like that. 26. Soon as he gets to the 27, 28, 29, it's all downhill. He's ranked number 8. He can't beat anybody in the top 10 anymore, top 5 anymore.
I know. The Italian guy beat him, right?
Yeah, Fognini. Kicked his ass. 3 times, Rome beat Spain. Three times in a row. He beat him twice on clay, the last 2 times before, and now on hard court. So Fognini has his number. It's like a bad mismatch.
And there's a little tennis for everybody out there. And on that note, don't forget about our show, 10 o'clock Eastern, Wednesday night, the eve of the beginning of the NFL season. Frankie boy, I think we're going to call it a night. We're going to be here back on Wednesday night. And, you know, once the season's in go, we're going to be talking about the games. There's going to be a lot of material to speak about. And finally, Frankie, Deflategate is put to bed. Right when we needed it to be put to bed. That's it. It's going to be pure football. And we're going to open up the phone lines. We want to see if you agree or disagree with us, or you just want us to call and say hello, or what do we think of the particular game, and we'll give you our opinions. Anyhow, thanks everybody for listening. Frankie?
Okay, see you all next Wednesday. Get ready to bet.
This Wednesday coming up. Thank you so very much, everybody, for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Please tune in next time. Good night, everybody. Love you all.
Thank you for listening to EMW Sports on the NQ by Incarnate Broadcast Network. Be sure to tune in every Saturday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and join Dom Moff and Frankie Puma in the chat room. Don't forget to follow them on Twitter at EMW Sports and like them on Facebook at EMW Sports Broadcast. Goodbye for now from the corner of New York and Las Vegas. Until next Saturday night, take some notes.